Did you ever wonder how the Christian faith spread so rapidly through the heathen nations of the world? By the completion of Paul's life and labors, around 40 years after Pentecost, the gospel had spread from Jerusalem as far west as Rome, probably even farther than this. Of course, we can ascribe this to the power of the gospel itself. God was behind the spread of salvation to all lands and peoples. Well, he still is today, too. We also can say that the spread of the gospel can be attributed to the fearless preachers of the gospel sent forth by the early church expressly for this task. But there was more than this as well. The Bible makes it clear that the gospel spread so rapidly because of the faithful witness of God's people in their lives. The passage before us today is a clear testimony to this fact. We're going to consider 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 6 through 8. And those verses read, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." That is the way the truth concerning Christ and salvation spread so quickly where it did. That ought clearly to teach us, too, of our calling today as members of the Church of Jesus Christ. We already considered this briefly in our last broadcast. Already in the greetings of Paul to the Thessalonian church in this chapter, he expressed great thankfulness for the labor of this congregation. That labor was a work of faith, a labor of love, and a patience of hope. We mentioned that all this referred to the Thessalonians' witness in the city where she was located. What we consider today, then, is an, well, amplification of what we touched upon last broadcast. Today, however, we will also discover just what it was that sounded out. We will consider the faith of these saints, the faith that made them followers of Christ. What was it then that these saints in Thessalonica sounded out to the world? Of what were they such good examples? What was it that was spread abroad in all Macedonia and Achaia? The answer is found basically in the last part of verse 8 of our text. Quote, "But also in every place," end quote. Paul writes, "Your faith to Godward is spread abroad." There it is. Their faith to Godward was that which was spread abroad. This phrase makes it very clear what characterized the Thessalonian saints. Their faith. That concept and everything it entails stands on the foreground in the word of God we hear today. Ah yes, faith, a beautiful gift of God bestowed on his people. Too bad the idea or meaning of this gift is mutilated and destroyed by so many today. Because faith is an activity of the child of God, that is, something in which he is active, something he does, many want to define it as a power that is natural to man, an ability man has in himself, and that prior to salvation. There's no doubt about it, faith entails actively embracing the cross, consciously taking Jesus to ourselves, and confessing that we want Jesus in our lives. And that's the faith that's on the foreground here in this passage, too. Yet, it is not at all in keeping with the Scripture to make of this faith a natural capability that every man has in himself to be able to accept Christ. By saying to fallen, depraved man, Christ loves you and wants to save you, but you must believe first, that is, have faith in him, before he can save you, that's a terrible error. This would mean that every person has the natural ability in himself to lay hold on Christ and salvation. It is not really all that difficult, therefore, to do this either. All one must do is, well, surrender himself to Christ, and then Christ will save him. That conscious surrender to Christ, by which the sinner lets Christ into his heart, that Christ might now work in him, is what many want to call faith. This error is not taught in the Scripture. In fact, Scripture condemns this error. Yet it is this error that is behind almost every major religious movement of today. fallen man apart from Christ is not totally depraved, it is said, but has a free will that makes him capable of accepting or rejecting Christ and the salvation that Christ really wants to give to everyone but can't. This is the faith, the free will error would claim, that the saints in Thessalonica were exhibiting. That the saints in Thessalonica were exhibiting faith, conscious embracing of Christ and salvation, we will not deny. But we will deny that this faith is a natural ability in every man that he has in himself, by which he can of his own will and power take Christ to himself and to salvation and salvation. We definitely deny that. And we will so because this denies the fundamental teaching of the Scripture concerning faith. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Faith is that gift God bestows on his people at the moment they are saved. This is not something they have before their salvation. Faith is not a natural ability on the part of totally depraved fallen man. It's a gift. The Bible emphasizes that. It's a gift that God bestows upon his children only after Christ saves them. You see, faith is a powerful force in the child of God. When God saves one of his children, then he takes hold of that person and powerfully and miraculously joins him to Jesus Christ. He roots that person in Christ so that the life of the Savior flows out of him and into that child of God and makes him alive too. It is at that moment that the child of God is given, faith is a gift, remember, is given by God the ability to see and know the things of the kingdom of heaven. Whereas before this point in his life, he was blinded in heart and soul and understanding, now there is in him a certain God-given ability to discern and understand spiritual things. Once having worked that power of faith in his heart, the saved child of God now turns to Christ and consciously, actively embraces him. He takes Christ as his own, and he confesses that he wants Christ and he wants salvation. That conscious knowledge and confidence of faith, that activity of faith is indeed what is on the foreground in our text today. Paul had come to the city and preached Christ crucified. That preaching was the power God used unto the salvation of these particular saints. Not everyone in the city, these saints. Through the preaching, God had worked both the power of faith, that is, by it God removed the hardness of heart and blindness of unbelief, and by it God bestowed the ability to seek the things of the kingdom of heaven, an ability rooted in and empowered by the Holy Spirit himself. As a result, God's people in Thessalonica gained a knowledge of God. They learned who he was in distinction from their heathen gods, their idols. They learned that their heathen gods were vain, the work of men's hands, having no power to give life eternal. Because of this knowledge, they turned away from these gods, and they turned to Jehovah, the true and the living God. This is what our text means when it speaks of their faith to Godward. The faith of these saints turned them away from their idols and to Godward, or toward the one true God. Having turned to God, these saints in Thessalonica also placed their confidence in him and in his Son. That also is the conscious activity of faith, the light in the life of the child of God. He knows God, and he turns to God. And he trusts God, and that reveals itself in the life and works of a believer. In all things, he lives for God, and in every circumstance, he trusts his God. God and his Son are everything to God's people, and that reveals itself in their lives. This was the very faith that now characterized these saints in Thessalonica, a faith that must characterize all of us as God's children. It is impossible for us to say we have faith unless it reveals itself in conscious knowledge and confidence in our God. This conscious knowledge and trust in God and in his Son reveals itself in us as well. How? Well, verse 6 tells us that. Ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. That the saints in Thessalonica followed the example of Paul and his commandment or companions, well, we'll consider that in a moment. We're more interested at this point in the fact that the faith of these saints led them to be followers of the Lord, that is, of Jesus Christ. Literally, our text says that these saints became imitators of Christ. They followed Christ in the sense of imitating him, and that is but a natural outcome of faith. We begin to follow Christ. Christ becomes our Lord. We become his servants to do his will. Faith entails godly living, holy living. It is saying no to the evil lusts of the flesh and the temptations of this wicked world. Instead, we are called to imitate Christ and his holiness. We are called to a life of spiritual separation from the evil of this world. One who has true faith is characterized by that desire as well, out of thankfulness for deliverance from the wrath of God, and out of the new life worked in him by the risen Lord, the child of God becomes committed to a holy life. All fornication and drunkenness, so much a part of the heathen life, the child of God hates and flees. Worldly entertainment that may entice him to such sins, the believer avoids. As we noticed last broadcast, this kind of life has its consequences in this world too. Following Christ entails that we deny ourselves and our own desires and take up our cross to follow Christ. The world hated Christ. Christ tells us it will hate us too. And it does. It did the Thessalonian believers. This is why Paul tells them that they received the word, that is, the word of salvation now, with much affliction and with joy of the Spirit. Because they followed Christ, they had to suffer affliction by the hands of the wicked there in that city. Not only was it given to them to believe on Christ, but also to suffer for his sake. And yet, that suffering they counted all joy. The Holy Spirit worked in them, and they looked upon their affliction as an evident token of the fact that they belonged to Christ. They saw such suffering as a natural result of serving Christ, and that gave to them joy. Of course it would. It does for us too, does it not? When the world around us mocks us for walking in God's commandments, we can rejoice. We count it joy in the Holy Spirit. Why? Why do we rejoice? Well, because this is an evident token that we belong to Jesus Christ. He's our Lord. And we are different from those who are given over to the worship of idols. All this is God-word faith. It is what sets the believer apart from the world. Faith of the believers must assuredly set apart the church in Thessalonica. It did not take long before the members of this congregation became examples for all the believers throughout Macedonia and Achaia. That was a large area, mind you. Macedonia and Achaia together made up the most important part of what was in former times called Greece. Paul was at present laboring in Corinth, which together with Athens was located in Achaia. And evidently word had spread of the great faith of the Thessalonian church. Quiet, brave endurance of these saints had been heralded by those traveling to and from Thessalonica. Do not forget that Thessalonica was a large city through which many people traveled. No doubt, word was carried by many who passed through. And as such, these saints, in their individual lives, had become a source of great encouragement to all of God's people. The joyful church, amidst suffering, definitely brings great joy to others who believe and must suffer similar trials and oppositions. You know, friends, we must always remember that what we do and what we bear as God's people is heard of by others. If we are a bad example, others hear of that. Individual believers, as well as churches, bear a certain reputation. Look at Paul, Silas, and Timothy and their example. Paul tells the believers in Thessalonica, "And ye became followers of us." The saints there had followed the godly example of faith left by these missionaries. And by doing so, they had followed Christ himself. This congregation, in turn, had as a whole become an example for others to follow. And that's the calling of God's people today as well. As churches, we must be a godly example in doctrine in our stand and in our stand against sinful living. As individual believers, we are to profess and walk in faith. We are called to be an example of faith that is Godward. We must be an example of faithful following after our Lord. When we are, that in itself speaks volumes to others. Walking a godly life, pursuing godly things, all this leaves a wonderful and lasting impression, not only on fellow believers, but it leaves an impression on unbelievers too. But it is an example that believers can follow, and an example in which they will rejoice together with us. In fact, our faithful example will be more than just an example to fellow believers. It will sound out into every place, whether believing or unbelieving. And of that we read now in verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. That's what Paul writes. The word for sound out means to reverberate. The idea is that of a bell that is rung as a warning, and it rings out from one place, and the sound of it goes out and echoes through the land for all to hear. This also is what happens when the members of the church are characterized by faith to Godward. It is a natural result in the life of the church which follows after Christ. Paul points out that the word of the Lord, the word concerning Jesus Christ and salvation in him, reverberated not only through Macedonia and Achaia, but into every place. This does not mean that all of a sudden everyone in the known world knew about this congregation and her faith. It means that the faith of this church not only came to believers in these regions of the world, but reached to every place in these regions. This congregation was a witness to everyone. The word of Jesus Christ was heard by the heathen too. So much so, Paul says, that he and Silas and Timothy did not have to go everywhere to spread the word of the gospel. It was already being spread by this congregation, and that by means of her godly example. It's evident from the passage we consider, of course, that this witness was not accomplished because the members of the church worked hard, to use modern terminology, to be mission-minded. This congregation was not sending out all kinds of her members in order to sound out the gospel. Members did not feel the call, as so many like today to speak of themselves, to go out and to do great things for the Lord in His service. Parents did not leave their children at home and go out and become missionaries for the Lord in order to gain this witness. That was the church's task, to send out laborers to preach the gospel to others. These saints were as the bell, which remains in one place, yet the sound of which reverberates throughout the whole land for all to hear. They were a witness, an open and active witness, right where they lived, right in their own city. They spoke the word of the Lord to others, and they were not ashamed of the gospel in their lives. They talked of it. They talked of it at home, in the workplace, wherever they did travel. Perhaps there even may have been some saints that did travel for their work, and they took their faith to Godward with them. Whatever the case, even in the face of fierce opposition, these saints could not keep their mouths shut. And that's how the gospel spread round about the far-reaching areas of this congregation. Obviously, the Lord was using the witness of these saints in a mighty way. And that too speaks to us of the witness of believers today. Our witness to others does not have to be some great and noble deed that we performed for the Lord. It simply entails speaking of our faith to others right where God has placed us, in the home, at the workplace, with whomever we visit. It entails a godly example to others to show them that we walk according to the gospel of grace. Then the word of the Lord will sound out from the corridors of that faithful church. Our community and all those round about us will hear of us. They will see our example and enthusiasm, and the result will be that the sound of the gospel will ring forth through the land. Such faith will spread. This is how the church of the early new dispensation grew so rapidly, by the witness of God's people, wherever God had led them to live. So much so was this true that churches sprang up everywhere in Asia Minor, North Africa, Greece, Italy, and beyond. Already it had spread through the areas of Macedonia and Achaia. Already it had gone through Asia Minor. The gospel was going out. It was spreading. God was using the faithful witness and example of His saints to spread His word. We indeed ought to support financially and with our prayers the mission work of the church and her calling to preach the gospel in foreign lands. I mean, that is the calling of the church too. But this does not diminish the calling of the congregation and of us as individuals to be busy where we live in our witness to others. Need not be a forced witness. It need only be a witness of godly living and unashamed conversation of our faith. When this characterizes the Church of Christ, the gospel will sound out into all the earth, and others will be followers of the Lord, even as we. God strengthen us in that calling. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, again we come before Thee, and again we're thankful that Thou hast saved us in the blood of Christ. We are thankful, Father, that Thou hast also made us a witness of that salvation by the way that we live. Lead us to live a godly life. And we're thankful, too, that we can be unashamed to speak of that gospel to others. Strengthen us also in that faith. And may we walk in a way that is pleasing to Thee. We thank Thee for this time that we could spend together around Thy word. Go with us now also in this week to come. For Jesus' sake. Amen.